Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Before the break, we were talking about whether or not there's been unequal carriage of justice between BLM and Jan 6. Well, most charges against the George Floyd protesters were dropped, analysis shows. I fact-checked the fact-check this morning already. The vast majority of citations and charges against George Floyd protesters were ultimately dropped, dismissed, or otherwise not filed, according to a Guardian analysis of law enforcement records and media reports in a dozen jurisdictions around the nation. But some prosecutors and law enforcement observers charge that departments carried out mass arrests as a crowd control tactic, as a means to silence peaceful protesters, and as a public relations strategy designed to turn the public against demonstrators by making them appear more violent than they actually were. Anyhow, let's get down to it. In most of a dozen jurisdictions examined, at least 90% of cases were dropped or dismissed. In some cities like Dallas and Philadelphia, as many as 95% of citations were dropped or not prosecuted. So when you go back to this fact check, they say this is false because it turns out thousands of protesters were arrested.
People weren't getting 20-year prison sentences.
But they didn't get charged and convicted.
Yeah.
The charges were dropped.
7 years in prison.
That's not actually what happened. In Houston, 93% of citations were dropped. In Los Angeles, 93% of citations were not filed. The prosecutor's office in San Francisco dismissed all 127 cases related to peaceful protest-related charges, though data for more serious citations is not available. So there could be more citations that we don't know about. In Dallas, 95% of cases were not filed. The department dropped about 675 charges stemming from one protest. Still, it sent nearly 200 charges to the prosecutor's office, of which about 85% of those were dropped or had not been filed as of September. In Philadelphia, police sent over 1,700 charges to the city. They dropped 95% of those charges. So, I don't know. I don't know if that fact check is false or true. I just thought
and
that.
And they're handling a large portion of the more serious misdemeanors and felonies with a restorative justice program that involves dropping charges upon completion of the program.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get 7 to 20 years? No one got any life sentences for grabbing someone's arm or anything like that? Okay.
Or burning a building?
That's interesting.
Or killing someone?
Probably those charges weren't dropped, I would bet.
But, stealing?
No, you can't worry about that. People have insurance.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's totally fine. Okay. Just so we can...
Someone from the live group is like, well, no one died of BLM protests. They all died of COVID.
With COVID.
With COVID, yeah.
Sorry, Josh. I'm sorry.
I'm not.
Listen, I almost didn't do this, but then I had to remind myself, well, what if it didn't say Josh Echol at the top? Well, I would put this in here for Doubly for the week. I would.
Yeah.
Okay. And so therefore, in the spirit of truth, we'll have to go through this. Go ahead, Charlie.
All right. Josh Echol tweets, stop repeating the quote, both sides are equally bad line. They're not. I think there's fine people on both sides.
There are.
On one side, you have an old man who spends way too much, wants to raise taxes, hasn't done enough to end drug prohibition, pushes for gun control, has countless misguided policy proposals.
This is a new one.
Oh, sorry. On the other side, you have an old man who spent way too much, wants to raise taxes via tariffs, wants to ramp up drug prohibition, pass more gun control than any president in modern history, has countless misguided policy proposals and has 90-plus criminal charges, tried to stop the peaceful transfer of power, promised to build sprawling camps to deport millions, wants to weaponize the military against his domestic enemies, wants to federalize local police, oversaw the largest money-printing binge in world history, simps for Putin and Xi, promised to be a dictator if reelected, stacked his cabinet with people who called for military coup against the government, dines with neo-Nazis and white supremacists, sets records for civilians killed in drone strikes, has called the attack in Mexico. These are not the same.
Not the same. So first off, on its face, I just want to say, listen, Josh is a nice guy, but he
has... I didn't get any credit for reading.
That was good.
That.
Well, I was going to give you credit if you did the whole thing without taking a breath.
Oh, I needed one breath.
You had to do the Ace Ventura...
Yeah.
He had to do that whole thing.
But, I should have done that after the hand, and then I would have been good.
Yeah. He's... Listen, Josh has TDS, and I'm not talking about the broadband service here in Nashville. Okay. Because that's been gone ever since Trump got rid of net neutrality. That's one of the things that he should have put on here. You know?
You're going to the big D and don't mean Dallas.
Yeah,
you know?
Not talking about that. He's got Trump derangement syndrome. You can tell by one way, in one way, because he lists off these five things for Biden and say countless misguided policy proposals. He doesn't click the drop down and expand on every single thing Biden has done that he disagrees with. And no doubt there's a lot of things that Biden has done that he disagrees with.
Yes.
But he chooses not to list those things out. Why does he choose not to list those things out? Because he wants to list out all of Trump's things. That's why. And he messed up a bit, and he kind of admitted it in a funny response to what I have to say, because he was trying to be dramatic, and he said that Trump passed more gun control than any president in modern history. And my response was, is 1994 not modern history?
Yeah.
Because I sort of feel like 1994 is still modern history, where we got the federal assault weapons ban, okay, and the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act of 1994, which was passed by Congress and signed into law by Bill Clinton. I sort of feel like banning assault weapons is more gun control
than banning bump stocks.
Yeah. All right.
And arguing for red flag laws.
Mm-hmm. And being in favor of red flag. Yeah. Yes. That's true. That's true, too. Costco said that expired. And so, and there's been enough time passed now that fell off of Bill Clinton's record. You know, 7 years goes by and it doesn't show up on your credit report anymore.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't lose credit for it anymore. I got you. Yeah, that's what it is. So
what is an assault weapon?
I brought this up, and listen, Josh knew that he messed up on that one, because I said it's 1994, not modern history. And he said, I mean, it was 30 years ago, with a kind of laughing, sweating face. I'm like, oh, yeah, I screwed that one up.
Yeah.
I forgot about the assault weapons ban in 1994. Mm-hmm. So he could have just said in the last 20 years or in the 21st century or something like that. But instead, modern history is a more dramatic way to say that. And I think if it still includes my life and your life, I think that fits within modern history, in my opinion.
Maybe, yeah. Gen Zers would disagree.
Yeah. But the problem is he hates Trump so much that didn't happen in his brain while he was typing it out. All he thought about was, how do I make Trump look as bad as possible? Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all I care about.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. So anyhow, that's thumb bleep number four, Josh Heckel.
Well, and basically the reason why it's dumb is because if you do expand Biden's, that drop-down list that he mm-hmm. should have had,
mm-hmm.
both sides are equally bad.
They're both bad.
They're both bad.
I think Biden's worse. Yeah. I mean, equally bad.
You have BDS.
Still think Biden's worse.
BDS.
Sounds like a bowel problem.
Yeah. You have Biden derangement syndrome. You know, you
maybe
listen to too many people on the right.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right.
They both suck.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They are both old, and they both suck. And they're willing. Neither one of them are principled. By the way.
Oh, that's true.
Yes. So equally bad on both sides. It is true.
You think you're saying that there's terrible people on both sides?
Yes.
Okay.
I am, actually. And then you can pick and choose. Like, I would say Biden is way worse on foreign policy. They're both increasingly horrible spenders. I mean, look, I've said this from the beginning. Trump is a liberal from New York.
Dude, we had $1 trillion deficit.
Never changed.
We had $1 trillion deficit before COVID.
Yes.
And then we got the COVID. And then we signed the biggest spending package ever in the history of the entire world that we know of.
Yes.
You know, it could have been way more, 10,000 years ago or whatever.
Yep. Exactly. Trump is a 90s New York Democrat.
Which today is a Republican.
Yeah. Well, that's why he's the top of the ticket.
Yeah.
You know? And neither one of them are, I would say you could say that Trump maybe is slightly better for the economy, only on the fact that he allows businesses to be more business.
A little less, and, less regulation.
Yes.
You know.
Which is helpful for business and the economy, mm-hmm. which is helpful for economics, which I would argue is the most important thing. I would also argue that foreign wars is probably, or the foreign policy is more important, and Trump had a better foreign policy. But, God, as far as, like, the other thing, Trump is bad on economics, though. It's like he's good on some things, and the other things, he's like, well, tariffs.
Tariffs.
Tariffs, and we'll spend all the money, and we're just going to make a good deal, all right?
That's a great Trump impersonation. Sounds yeah. just like him.
Just, yeah. It's the Tennessee.
That's one of the better ones I've heard.
It's the Tennessee version of him, you know? So.
It's got to be great,
it's
y'all.
It's even hard to make an economic argument. Like, I would say Trump is only slightly better because of, like, reduced regulation than taxes, which is good for business, whereas Biden wants to spend money and increase taxes and increase regulations. Like, no part of Biden's economic plan is good for the economy whatsoever, mm-hmm. even though employment just hit, you know, another month of lows.
Well, that's because people have more than one job. That's what AOC said. Actually, most of the jobs, we're not going to get into jobs today. What's wrong with the economy? Oh, speaking of, it's not the economy.
It's you.
It's you, not the data. This comes from the Wall Street Journal, just so you know. Now, they make some points in here about how people are maybe misunderstanding the data. Like this first one here. In the Wall Street Journal's latest poll of swing states, 74% of respondents said inflation has moved in the wrong direction in the past year. This assessment, which holds across all seven states, is startling and simply not true.
That is true.
I'm not stating an opinion. This isn't something on which reasonable people can disagree.
Yeah, they can.
Well, so the question is, inflation moved in the wrong direction. Well, inflation is lower in the last year than it was the previous year.
But still up.
Okay. But it is still up.
Prices and so are still going up.
The easy way to explain this is that when you say inflation, people think that simply just means prices going up, and prices are going up, which is the wrong direction. They don't want that because we still have inflation and prices are still going up. So people are upset. I'm not going to go through the entire article for time purposes and because we don't have to. I am sick to death of this argument, and I keep hearing it all over the place, especially on days like today where we get a lower unemployment number, 3.8%, 330,000 jobs out of whatever. The argument, if you turn on any mainstream news outlet, is this economy is booming. Don't pay attention to what the surveys say, what the polls say, whatever it is. The people are wrong. They just don't get it.
Don't check your receipts at the grocery store. No,
they're clouded by their hatred for Biden, or the media is making them think the economy is worse than it actually is, but it's actually really good and the people are wrong. And this is just your common argument that you hear out there all the time. And the thing is, it's just not true. And we talked about this last week or the week before. But the reason it's not true is because people remember more than just the last year or just the last 5 months. Say wages have been outpacing inflation for the last 6 months. Okay, well, that's great. What about the 3 years before that? What are you going to do about that?
Have we caught up?
No, we have not caught up. And then when you think about inflation, well, inflation has been cut down to 3.whatever%, and it was 6 last year, it was 9.2 the year before that, and so the economy is getting better. All of those numbers add together, and people don't just have a one-year span of memory. They might even remember 10 years, you know, but they definitely remember 3. Most people remember 3 years, other than Biden. Most other people remember.
You can't remember yesterday.
No. Yeah. And what they remember is that inflation is not just up 3.2%. They remember that inflation is 19%. And they remember that.
And on some things, it's over 100. Yeah,
that's the thing. It's not just 19. Those are the fake numbers anyhow. Yeah. All right. It's actually probably been 30 to 40%. At least over that time, and then even more, actually, if you are taking into account if you buy the same brand of product that you used to buy at the grocery store, it's probably 100%.
Yeah.
At least 100%.
I saw some data that you know, talks about some core, like core groceries like eggs and bread, things like that, that are up anywhere from 40 to 100% from 2020 to 2024.
Yeah.
I mean, so people are like, most people are still going to buy those things, even if they buy the off brand or whatever. Even those are up 40% on your like core products.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and then if you've kept buying the same brand of whatever it is, drink, man, how much are Dr. Pepper Zeros up these days?
100%.
It's 100%.
Yeah.
You know, I made chili this week, and I looked at the chili mix I use. I use Chilio, have to use Chilio, French's Chilio. It's up about 150% from what I used to pay.
Well, you make your own.
I don't switch chili powder.
Yeah.
No. No.
Don't make your own seasoning?
No, I don't have time for that.
Oh, okay.
No one cares. Chilio does it better.
All right.
French's does it better. But it's up about 150% from that time. So if you've kept buying the same products, then your grocery bill is probably up 100%. And people know that. They're not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But the numbers don't count things like that. They assume that I started buying Kroger brand chili mix. Uh-uh. I ain't going to buy Kroger brand chili mix.
Or make your own.
No.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep buying the same thing that my grandma bought.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's what we're going to do. Anyhow, so I'm absolutely sick of this argument. So Wall Street Journal, what's wrong with the economy? It's you, not the data. That's number five. Let's get on to number six. We got a new lawsuit coming down right now against social media companies. And this is from the families of the mass shooting in Buffalo. Okay. And so this is sad. A bunch of people got killed in Buffalo. I don't agree with that whatsoever. Did seem to be actually a racist mass shooting that occurred. And now these families are suing social media for allowing these ideas on their platform, but not really. They're getting around it. They're getting around the free speech argument. They're suing the companies for the way that their algorithms operate in promulgating divisive and hateful rhetoric. So it's not for allowing the speech. It's for the way that the companies built their platforms to amplify things like hate or racism or whatever, which I don't think is still not a thing.
I looked at the code. You know, the algorithm, and basically at the top of the code, you know, the first filter on whether or not, the first parameter on whether or not they're going to boost the content is hate.
Yeah.
It just there's a comment next to the line of code. It says hate, boost for hate.
Mm-hmm. If hate, then
if hate up, I want it up.
Up,
go further. here's the thing. All these algorithms, they work very similarly, which is the more interaction that a specific post has, the broader it's going to reach. It's the Pareto print. It's the Pareto distribution.
Whether it's hate or not, it's essentially people telling the algorithm that people want to see this post. Then the more people react to it, the more the algorithm says people want to see this post.
Yeah.
And so then it gets more
popular.
It's
political content. So on Instagram, they're like, I don't know if you've seen it or not. They're automatically censoring. And they tell you this now. There's a default setting. They're automatically basically censoring political content.
Mm.
And so if you want to see more political content, you actually have to go into your settings and click off a button that will filter political content.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Isn't that interesting?
I haven't been on Instagram in a long time. Go ahead, Charlie.
All right. The families of those murdered in the racist mass shooting in Buffalo in 2022 can continue with their lawsuits against social media companies that they contend helped fuel the killer's racist hate. A judge this week refused to dismiss lawsuits, against the social media companies, including Meta, 4chan, Reddit, and YouTube. The social media companies had sought the dismissal. Peyton Gendron,
I don't know,
who fatally shot 10 black people at a Buffalo Tops supermarket in May 2022, was partly driven by his belief in what is known as the white replacement theory. Erie County-based State Supreme Court Justice Paula Ferroletto noted in her decision. The families of the victims maintain that Gendron discovered the concept on postings in the social media universe, found like-minded racists, and set out on his murderous mission. The social media networks have done nothing to monitor and address content of the sort the lawsuits contend.
Wouldn't it be great if we could go back to a time before social media when there was no racism?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't allowed, it wasn't boosted mm-hmm. by these companies, you know?
Yeah.
I just wish we could go back to that. That was me being sarcastic, by the way.
I was wondering, previously when, the KKK had to meet in person, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe they, they made those robes or whatever.
Yeah.
And then maybe they wrote ideas down on paper.
Yeah.
Could you sue the paper company for facilitating?
The one that had the paper?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Sue the paper companies for facilitating those meetings.
What about the pen company?
The pen, yes, mm-hmm. Bic. Or whatever.
Whoever.
Those hateful.
Made the fountain pens.
Yeah.
way back then.
Can you sue the wood company that they used to build the cross?
What about the sheets?
Yeah.
You know? Those bed sheets they put on their horses and rode around.
Yeah.
You know?
What about the horses? Can you sue the people who bred the horses?
I don't know. It all depends on whether or not they allowed them to get so many likes that they went viral. You know? And I don't know how they did that back then.
Yeah.
I don't think we have to go through the whole thing here. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
There has always been racism. Unfortunately, there's probably always going to be racism more than likely. I don't think these companies are liable for this whatsoever. Maybe it's up to them if they want to go on their platforms and try to censor things like the great replacement theory or the white replacement theory or whatever the theory is, then they can go and do that. But people sharing ideas in a public forum, I think it's up to the people. And ultimately, the responsible party is the person who decided to get a gun or some guns and some armor and go do a really terrible thing. There's been really bad ideas out there for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue that we have way less racist violence.
And I would argue if you're trying, here's what I would argue. If you're actually trying to prevent things like this, letting them openly talk about it mm-hmm. on social media is the best way to know about it.
And then you get the NSA after them, you know,
the FBI. They're putting it out in public. it's way easier to watch someone like that. Who's literally putting it out on public.
Beforehand, you had to know what part of the woods everyone was meeting at.
Yeah.
To talk about these things.
Yeah.
You know, now it's right there on 4chan or whatever. So, anyhow, that's number 6. We'll get on to number 7 and 8 when we come back. The conclusion of Dumb Leap of the Week and the winner. Go to Good Morning Liberty on your podcast app or BrennyLies.com in your browser so you can listen to us every single day of the week.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Donald Trump will not get a change of venue for his hush money trial upcoming in New York. Trump's attorneys couldn't convince appeals judges that Trump might not get a fair trial in New York City. President Biden unveiled his administration's initiative to enhance the affordability of child care and senior care. Speaking in Washington, D.C. Tuesday, he emphasized that the current cost of care is excessively high, while the compensation for care workers remains inadequate.
Care workers and caregivers are critical to our families and to the entire economy.
The president's latest budget proposal proposal encompasses measures such as expanding paid family leave, reducing child care expenses, and extending the child care tax credit. Norfolk Southern has agreed to pay a $600 million settlement to address class action claims arising from the February 2023 train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. The railroad clarified that the settlement does not imply any admission of wrongdoing or liability. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay heating pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
We're back, Liberty at Night, with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, and we are almost to the conclusion of Dumb Bleep of the Week. It's about number 7, net neutrality is back. Thank God, because
we argued about this on the Big Freedom Show back when we first started.
Obama.
Was that aught-17?
It might have been.
Yeah.
Obama tried to save the internet, and he did, for a couple of years, and then Trump came into office. And he yet again destroyed the internet. And ever since he got rid of net neutrality.
That's what led to Jan 6.
Yeah. And see, this is what
and
destroys democracy right here, yeah. Is not having net neutrality. Yeah. That's the problem. And so as you know, as all of us are aware, it doesn't even need repeating, since Trump got rid of net neutrality in 2017, your download and upload speeds have suffered. They have gone remarkably down since then. Prices per download megabits, megabyte, whatever you want to call it, have skyrocketed. It's unaffordable, actually. Mm-hmm. Internet is.
Yeah.
And so, luckily, the FCC wants to come in and finally fix the internet.
Yeah.
Once again. So on April 25th, the FCC, not going to let us be, will vote to restore landmark rules governing net neutrality, a federal policy with a history of popular bipartisan support that safeguards free speech online by requiring federally contracted telecom companies like AT&T to treat all internet traffic the same, barring them from blocking websites or slowing down internet speed for profit. In October, Democrats retook majority control of the five-member FCC, finally ending the commission's 2-2 partisan deadlock, which is stymied efforts by President Joe Biden to restore the Obama-era Title II net neutrality rules for more than 3 years. Quote, the pandemic made clear that broadband is an essential service that every one of us, no matter who we are or where we live,
needs it to have a fair shot at success in the digital age.
We didn't even have the internet 30 years ago. Or maybe barely. We barely had it 30 years ago.
Well, not to mention, like, okay, the pandemic made clear, first off, what you did during the pandemic made clear that internet is really important,
yeah.
Where you forced people to stay in their homes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so now you're using that as an example for why you need to take over these companies afterwards. Secondly, what, we got no internet? What's the problem here? Internet's gotten better. It's better than it's ever been right now.
Yeah.
Tell me the website you go on and you're like, oh, it just won't freaking do. Oh, there it is. Okay, good.
Yeah. Got the government websites.
Yeah, the government ones. Those are the ones that don't work.
Those are the most frustrating. Hard to navigate. You have no idea where to click.
The market saw that people needed internet during this time, and the market has rolled out better, faster internet for everyone. And you're telling me that they got to take this over? What? Because allegedly, here's the allegedly, Netflix takes a second every once in a while.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
And it's not even a thing. It's a made-up problem.
We need instant miracles, Nate. You know?
Yeah, I'm going into Louis C.K. there for a minute.
Have you ever, like, just thought, have you ever thought about how any of this works and just how unbelievable
that's pretty crazy.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
You realize streaming a movie, especially like over Wi-Fi, that these bits of data like hang on to these microwaves that are flying through the air,
They're flying
To a system which will take all those bits of data and convert it back into the movie that it's supposed to be, and in almost instantaneous time will display that movie back to you.
And it goes through this.
You know?
Right here. Your entire
life.
Or
through the air.
Your entire life.
Or it goes through the air.
Through this thing right here. It's amazing. The entire thing is a miracle.
Honestly, I don't even know how they came up with it.
I don't either.
You know?
Dude, I don't understand how radio works.
Yeah.
You tell me how you put something in the air that I can't see, and it comes back down with pretty good quality, bass lines thumping, all that kind of stuff. I can hear words, and it's playing through my car, which is just more wires that are, it comes in, the more wires, and they go out through this thing. And if you're rich, they got Kevlar in them, but like it's just this thing right here, and it makes the perfect sound.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Quit complaining.
Yeah. Yeah. It's impressive.
Okay.
And because you have to wait. Maybe a second.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
10.
That's like worst case scenario.
For that miracle to display.
Yeah.
You know what happens? Like, what happens when the power goes out? You know?
We all die.
And the internet doesn't work.
That's bad for democracy.
What are we doing with that essential service?
This article from the Federalist.
Dan's right. It's all just fancy flashlights. Super fancy flashlights.
This article from the Federalist is arguing that we're going to have more government censorship. With net neutrality, they start off by talking about the Supreme Court case that they are going against these social media companies or the Biden administration and the people that were censored on social media. But later on, they're saying the case assumes additional importance amid the FCC's attempt to resurrect the discredited Title II net neutrality regulations that would designate internet service as a public utility subject to federal micromanagement under Depression era statutes meant for obsolete copper wire telephone service. What could possibly go wrong by placing one of the nation's most dynamic economic sectors under greater control of the federal bureaucracies? Actually, the idea was imposed at the end of the Obama administration, and results were immediate and destructive. For the first time in history, outside of an economic recession, private broadband investment declined after the Trump administration rescinded the Title II rules and returned to the long-standing light-touch internet service regulations from the FTC, I think. Internet investment resumed and internet performance accelerated and even outperformed all expectations through the COVID pandemic. This week, the FCC announced it will vote later this month to revert to the Obama-era net neutrality rules. And essentially what they're saying is that, as noted above, reimposing net neutrality regulations upon ISPs would allow the federal government to dictate the types of services offered and even the prices that could be charged. In turn, that would allow federal bureaucrats the authority to penalize ISPs that fail to toe the administration's line versus other more compliant internet service providers.
And here's just a clear example about how like the executive branch is making laws,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're able to turn them on and turn them off depending on who's in charge.
Yep.
Like the people that vote for this, Nobody voted for this. Nobody voted for a representative to for net neutrality or whatever. It's ridiculous.
Now, the administration already was going after social media companies and saying, hey, you guys need to censor this specific post or censor this specific post, okay? You know, we need you to hold this back. This is bad. What happens when these are public utilities and now they're going to AT&T and they're saying, hey, we see that you're giving the same data speeds to InfoWars and Alex Jones, you know, and their platform and Twitter and X. And actually, we're seeing Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Yes. And all of those are going to be flowing through your wires. And what we see is that that's really dangerous for democracy. And it's actually leading to hate and violence. And people are dying because of what you're doing. So we're going to need you to slow down these specific services and prioritize these other ones from PBS and or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
That would never happen. Because the Biden administration claims it would never use net neutrality powers to set prices or infringe on your rights or anything like that. They're just not going to do it. Okay.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I found, we don't have to go through all this stuff. The headlines about how the internet was over after 2017 when Trump got rid of this. I mean, they are really funny. Maybe they're worth looking at. The end of the internet as we know it. That's a pretty good one from CNN. Let's see. The Verge, net neutrality is dead. It's time to fear Mickey Mouse. I don't know why you're scared about Mickey Mouse. Internet, a lifeline for LGBTQ people. And so advocates are slamming net neutrality. We've seen almost no gay on the internet anymore now that they repealed this.
Can't say gay.
Yeah. Let's see. Now, this is what could happen to the web. All really terrible things.
How the FCC's killing of net neutrality will ruin the internet forever. Yeah, because, you know, it went on. We had it for 25 years without net neutrality.
If Trump's FCC repeals net neutrality, elites will rule the internet and the future. So you know what? Let's let the government rule the internet.
Yeah,
because they're not elites.
Uh-huh.
Basically, the idea here is that none of these terrible things happened. The internet got better and faster and more people are using it. And we've even got new things. We got SpaceX since the whole net neutrality. We got Starlink since that thing. And you don't even have to worry about these wired broadband providers. So anyhow, that's enough on that's all I had to say about that. I did see a chart about internet download speeds, end of the internet, and how much they've gone up since then. I mean, the internet did not die. That's the point. It got way better because that's what the market does.
That's a 300% increase.
Yeah.
Since the end of the internet speeds.
Well, it probably would have been 350.
Yeah.
So that's what you got.
Oh, Robert Reich.
Robert Reich makes it in for dumb bleep number eight. It's the last one. Then we got to get the votes in and get out of here. He says,
there are basically five ways to accumulate $1 billion. One, profiting from a monopoly. Two, insider trading. Three, political payoffs. Four, fraud. Five, inheritance from one of the previous four.
Yeah, I guess
don't
so.
Don't believe the self-made myth.
Now, you posted this with an article attached to it, just so you know. But I want to attack this first off, or maybe we'll come back to it later. Five ways to accumulate $1 billion. I don't think that he is actually stupid. I think he's malevolent. Sometimes you can say that people are just stupid, but Robert Reich has been around long enough that he knows that there are numerous ways to accumulate $1 billion. Okay. Number one is you could put a gun to people's head and tax them to death. That's one of the ways you accumulate $1 billion.
Or a trillion.
Yeah. Or trillions. Yeah, that's right. Now, the other one could be that you created a product or service that people wanted to use, and it made their lives better. And millions of people
used
it. Let's
see how Amazon fits into the, oh, well, they're a monopoly.
So it's a monopoly.
They have 33.
What about Walmart? Well, that's a monopoly,
yeah.
Right?
That's like 33% of market share.
Your groceries
like
at Walmart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do all your shopping at Walmart, probably.
Yeah.
It's Amazon and Walmart are monopolies, even though they're in competition with one another.
I mean, Microsoft was a monopoly. They broke that up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had to break Microsoft up from monopolizing the internet.
That's true.
You know, holding Netscape down, you know.
But the other thing is, hardly anyone accumulates $1 billion because they were getting paid, $100 million a year. On their salary, you know, and 10 years later, they accumulated $1 billion. Let's say 11. They had some expenses along the way. they accumulated $1 billion. They accumulated $1 billion because they own stock in companies that are doing well in the stock market and that have a lot of public-private investment into those companies. That's actually how, like, everyone has $1 billion, like all of them that have billions of dollars, is how you actually get that money. And he doesn't list that at all. That's maybe just insider trading. I don't know. That's all it can be.
Yeah.
He knows better than this. Now, the article connected is all billionaires under 30 have inherited their wealth, research finds. And so he talks about inheritance. And the idea now is that all the billionaires we got today, they weren't self-made. They just inherited their wealth from their rich family and stuff like that. And so you go through the article. Go through the article, Charlie.
All right. All the world's billionaires younger than 30 inherited their wealth, the first wave of the great wealth transfer, in which more than 1,000 wealthy people are expected to pass on more than $5.2 trillion to their heirs over the next two decades. There are already more billionaires than ever before, 2,781 of them.
That's a lot of billionaires.
Still a small class, though. Mm-hmm. I mean. And the number is expected to soar in the coming years as the elderly generation of super rich people prepare to give their fortunes to their children.
Now, that's one important thing to keep in mind. The number of billionaires expanding exponentially because the old guy dies and he leaves the money to his five kids. So now they're...
As long as he has $5
billion. Yeah. Now, as long as he has more than $5 billion, we just expanded by four more billionaires. Just because one guy died. Uh-huh. And then you see this number like, oh, the number of billionaires is exploding. Guarantee you we're going to be seeing these headlines in the next 5-10 years. And it's going to be because of inheritance.
Research by Forbes magazines found that there were 15 billionaires. So they're talking about 15 people here.
Yeah, out of the 2,781. Yeah,
age 30 or under, but that none had created their own wealth, instead benefiting from huge inheritances among... Now,
we don't have to go through the
actual
people.
Now, here's what's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, I don't remember her name, but you know the lady who created Bumble? It was a woman
mm-hmm.
who created Bumble, celebrated as a self-made billionaire.
Mm.
You know, she used to work for Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
She had this idea for Bumble. She left Tinder, created Bumble, became, I think it's the second most popular dating app, self-made billionaire.
Mm.
The lady who started Spanx, self-made billionaire. Now, these women are celebrated.
Yeah.
All kinds of articles celebrated. Now, I think they're slightly over 30. I think the lady who created Bumble might be like 32 or something like that, or 35. I don't remember. The Spanx lady, it took her several years. I think maybe she's in her 40s. All self-made billionaires that are celebrated as being self-made billionaires.
Yeah.
But, of course, we don't. Robert Reich thinks that can't happen unless you're a woman.
Well, you know, inheritances are bad. You know what's not bad? Divorcing a billionaire and becoming a billionaire.
Especially when you give it all away.
Yeah, that's good.
Uh-huh.
But it is important to note that they're making the point, Robert Reich's making the point, that all these billionaires are just inheriting their wealth. And they say all the world's billionaires younger than 30 inherited their wealth. It's only 15 people out of 2,781 billionaires that there are out there. And he's using this to make this broader point about billionaires and wealth transfer and all this kind of stuff. And by the way, good point, Dan, 5.2 trillion over 20 years, it's going to be inherited. That's maybe about 9 months of 1 year of the federal government's budget. So when people see that number, they're like, oh, we should tax that. If we just did a 2% wealth tax, we'd be able to fund every single thing in the history of the world, except for we already spend that much money in just 9 months.
10 months.
Maybe 10. The U.S. government does, and so it would actually just do nothing except for... Yeah. Destroy wealth and the incentive for more wealth creation.
We could actually take all of it and then we could all live high on the hog for about 10 months.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
And then we'll start over. What a great idea.
And we'll make new billionaires.
It's a great reset.
And we'll steal from them.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I wanted to look at something because he talks about these 15 billionaires. And he uses it to make the point that there's no self-made billionaires. It's just people who inherited their wealth. And it's a convenient time to post this now because there are so many famous billionaires that we know of that are no longer under 30. But they used to be under 30 and they were billionaires when they were under 30 and they are not people who inherited their money. They're people who started companies that we know of. And then there's also people who were very close to 30. Now they say younger than 30, so I guess that's up to 29 because one of them is actually 30. and that doesn't actually count. So I guess under 30. But the thing is, it just depends on what your time horizon is, what your time parameters are. And then you have to ignore all of the other billionaires that actually did create their wealth, that didn't inherit their wealth, and that they were under 30, or they were 30, or they were 31. And that would go against your whole point, and so you don't want to talk about that at all. People like Mark Zuckerberg, who was 23. Now, I wouldn't say that he inherited his $99.6 billion that he's worth. He stole a social media company. Sorry, he started the social media company. I was just making a joke there about Mark Zuckerberg. So that's one. What about Evan Spiegel? He created an app that I've never cared about personally, but Snapchat. That's one. Okay, became a billionaire.
Never made a profit.
In 2015 at 25. That's when he became a billionaire. Yeah, he didn't have to make money. But what did he do? Did he have a monopoly? I guess he had a monopoly on Snapchat. Didn't inherit this wealth. It was because of Snapchat. Didn't steal it. Didn't do any of the stuff Robert Reich talked about. And then you get some other people like Larry Page. Larry Page is a co-founder of Google. Google is a really big company. Larry Page became a billionaire when he was 30. Now, they said under 30 for these numbers. No, he's not 30 anymore. They're just talking about how old was he when he became a billionaire. And he was 30 when he became one, all right? That's when Bill Gates was 31 when he became a billionaire. All right, so that's also not just inherited wealth. They sold a freaking car and a calculator to get their business going, you know? If you go back to that story, Jeff Bezos was 35. When he became a billionaire. And so I just don't like the fact that now, currently, the snapshot, 15 out of the over 2,000 billionaires that there are out there are people who inherited this wealth from older billionaires that are out there. That says nothing about the way history has gone, says nothing about the important people who have started very important companies that we all use and enjoy or don't enjoy sometimes. It's just Robert Reich grifting and trying to get the government more power. He's really probably trying to sell more books and have more speaking engagements and stuff like that. Gets really annoying. So to go back to him, five ways to accumulate $1 billion. He never mentions creating a product or service that people use and enjoy, even though there are plenty of people that have done that. And to me, that's a very dangerous way to talk about this. So
I'm pasting a link for you to go.
Okay.
It's from Forbes. And it's self-made women. And there's 24 of them on the list who are billionaires. These are self-made women.
How about that?
Yeah. So even Robert Reich says, don't believe the self-made myth. So is this a myth from Forbes?
Well, I mean,
are you about to pull up a myth?
It could be.
I don't know why I wouldn't make an actual link.
I mean, it's got to be the women are self-made. Okay.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift received no help from her family at all or from anyone else. I mean, she's self-made.
Yes.
Okay. And these other two, I don't even know who they are.
Self-made, though.
But they're self-made. Yeah. We know that. Who do we have? Diane. It's funny. I'm not going to know who any of these people are.
You'll know some of them.
They don't say the specific companies here. They put the...
Well, I know. So I know number three there, Judy Faulkner. She is the founder of Epic. Epic, which is a health system software, EMR, that most hospitals use. It's the clinical documentation system and billing system and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Epic, based out of Wisconsin. Wisconsin. You know some of these. Let's move on down the list. Oprah Winfrey, you know, TV shows. She's not self-made.
Well, she is self-made.
According to this list, Kim Kardashian, so. Rihanna, Sarah Blakely, that's the Spanx. She's 52, sorry. I thought she was in her 40s.
Mm.
Tory Burch, you know, those Burch bags and stuff.
Wait, is Taylor Swift even on this list?
She's not on the billionaire list yet. So there's 24 billionaires. And then,
wait, so America's richest self-made women. It's not just billionaires. Okay, I got you.
This is at 2023, by the way, June. So
she might be by now.
Oh, she's a billionaire now.
Is she?
Yes. Swift is a billionaire.
Good for her.
But she's like 35, so she's not under 30.
All right, everyone, let's get the votes in for Dumb Bleep of the Week. If you're watching live on one of the other social media platforms, you're not going to be able to vote. That's because the Fed Haters Club gets the vote. You can go to joingml.com and join our private Discord. You can give submissions for Dumb Bleep of the Week, and then we can all vote and see which one is the dumbest. Number one is Ukraine joining NATO and the U.S. not supporting Taiwan independence. Number two, Boston hospitals not reporting drug-addicted babies anymore because it might disproportionately affect black people. Number three, the Jan 6th man gets 7 years. Number four was Josh Echol with the most gun control in modern history. Is that what he said? Something like that. Number five, the economy is great, but the problem is you. Number six, Buffalo families sue social media companies. Number seven, net neutrality is back. And number eight is Robert Wright.
Wow, this is spread out.
It's getting spread out.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, get your votes in. And while the live group is voting, you can join the live group. Maybe not be able to get your vote in right now. It's possible. Go sign up. Join gmail.com. If you sign up right now, maybe you can get in there and make a vote before Nate makes the determination on who the winner is going to be. Joingmail.com. Visit all the links in the show notes if you're listening on the podcast app. Go to the website goodmorningliberty.us for everything you need, or BernieLies.com. It's pretty easy there.
Yeah.
Because Bernie does lie. Support the sponsors that support this show.
Yeah, if you heard us talk about sponsors, go to those links and make sure you go to GodHatesFeds.com to get yourself a nice shirt. We need some people to pull some votes. We're split right now between the January 6th story and the economy is great story. We're going to narrow it down to those two. If you voted for something else, pull your vote and put it on one of those two. So we're doing like...
Oh, so you can pull votes in this voting system.
Well, we're going to narrow it. It's like a tournament now. So down to those finals, ranked choice voting right now. Looks like it's going to be the economy is great, but the problem is you. That's the winner for Dumb Bleep of the Week. All right, folks, that's all we got for this Tuesday evening for Liberty and Night on the Free Talk Live Network. Remember, you can listen to Charlie and I every single day of the week when we want to on our daily podcast called Good Morning Liberty. Find us on your podcast app. If not, we'll see you next Tuesday night on Liberty at Night.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized. Neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.